Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
What a play!
Can you believe this?
No, I can't.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
This is going to go the distance.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Well, let's look ahead to some pretty fun rankings disputes that I anticipate we're going to be having for the next several months. Tank Dell versus Nico Collins. Brees Hall versus basically the field. Bijan versus Gibbs. You know, we'll get into that. But Heath, I was looking at it yesterday. Man, I cannot find one reason to go with Bijan over Gibbs. Yet that's how I ranked it. But, everything on paper is
why
Gibbs.
Did you rank it that way?
I think he has a better chance to be a true feature back next season. Whereas Montgomery's
so that's
not
one
going,
reason.
I know, but there is no 2023 reason to rank Bijan over Gibbs in 2024.
Better pedigree, higher draft pick.
Barely, though. Like barely.
But still, those are reasons.
I guess so.
And I think the biggest reason, and I did not rank Bijan over Gibbs because I am not confident that Arthur Smith's no longer going to be the coach. But the argument will likely be in May. Is that, well, look, Bijan's offensive environment is so much better. He's got a new head coach. He's got a new play caller. He's got a new quarterback. Gibbs is in the exact same situation as he was last year. So Gibbs will be what he was last year, but Bijan's going to pass him because of the improvements to his environment.
You know, one of my bold predictions were not very good. I think Marquise Brown, top 10, Jerry Jeudy, top 5, something like that. But one of them was Jahmyr Gibbs, number top 5 running back.
Yeah, you got that one right.
He's 6 per game right now. 6 per game. So come on, we need a big finish.
But he's top 5 overall, right?
Oh, I doubt it. Didn't he? Let's see. Didn't he miss some time? Let's see. McCaffrey, Mostert, ETN, Breece Hall, Rashad White. He's 8th in PPR.
Oh, huh.
Yeah, he missed. I
thought maybe Kyren missed more time than he did, so he would move into the top.
Oh, Kyren did miss more time, but Kyren is 6. Kyren has scored how many more points per game than Kyren has scored almost 5 more points per game than Jahmyr Gibbs. That's insane.
Yeah. Yeah, he's the guy I think who's going to be like, we're going to have some serious fights about this offseason because somebody's going to rank him like he played this year, and then everybody else is going to have to argue against it.
The other thing is Gibbs was like better than Bijan. Gibbs was just so good as a rusher. I mean, just incredible. All right, whatever. That's coming up a little bit later. Jamie should be here soon. Dave is sick. I finally got Dave sick. It took 18 weeks. Here's our email of the day. It's from Eric. That's for Dave. What player either drafted by accident or reluctantly helped you win your league? For me, when I started my draft this year, I did not know I was on automatic draft. I had number 3, and I took Tyreek Hill. I'm in the Super Bowl of my league because of him. Any accidental, fortuitous draft picks?
I can't think of any accidental draft picks. And like I reluctantly drafted Tony Pollard, but he didn't exactly help me win my league. So I don't know that I have a good answer to this question. I'm looking at the team that was the worst that won a championship. And it's a whole bunch of like waiver wire ads. It's got Trey McBride and Zamir White and Devon Achane. So I don't know.
I reluctantly drafted Michael Pittman. I finally bit the bullet in one league, like in the 90s or something. Mm-hmm. And I just had no interest in Michael Pittman. I had no faith in Anthony Richardson.
Mike Evans.
I didn't like Mike Evans.
And I did end up drafting him in the St. Jude, I think it was 2022. That's, you and I put St. Jude leagues together.
That was my Pittman league. Yep.
And I won that one. So.
Oh, you did. I had the 2 seed. I did not win that one, but I had a good team. I had a good team. Maybe Michael Pittman could help me in the semifinals there. All right. We have a lot of other podcasts for you, by the way. Heath's Dynasty Podcast is a great time to get into Dynasty. If you haven't done a Dynasty League, do a Startup Dynasty Draft. They're super fun. We had the Baked Burger League this year, which was a Startup Dynasty Draft. But
next Tuesday, I've got John Blosch coming back on. He's been on a couple times already since we started the show. And we are going to do so you want to start your first Dynasty League podcast. We're going to break down our favorite settings. John actually has some advice. It will be a wide range because our favorite settings may not be best for beginners. So we're also going to have some advice just for people starting Dynasty who don't want to go completely crazy with it like some of us do.
All right. But anyway, we have so many great podcasts in addition to Fantasy Football Dynasty. We have Cover 3 if you want to get into college football right now. There's a pretty big game coming up. The Early Edge, which is a daily sports line betting podcast. Pick 6 for NFL. The First Cut for golf. Kicking It. Morning Footy. Fantasy Baseball Today. Attacking Third, which is a women's soccer podcast. With the First Pick, NFL Draft Podcast. That's a great one for you right now. Ion College Basketball. In Soccer We Trust. Your DFS podcast, Morning Combat, Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, Fantasy Football Today in 5. I'm going to stop reading. We have so many podcasts. Please check them out. All right, news and notes for week 18. Noah Brown, the Colts play the Houston Texans and the Colts. They play Saturday. They face off Saturday night. Noah Brown did not practice. Laremy Tunsil, left tackle for the Texans, he did not practice. This is a must-win game here. So hopefully CJ Stroud can at least have Tunsil. Be nice to have Brown as well. Zach Moss was listed as limited. Xavien Howard is not expected to play for the Dolphins in that big game against Buffalo. Jonathan Mingo is out for the season. Meanwhile, Sean McVay will be back next season, and right now they're talking in Arizona like Kyler Murray is going to be their starting quarterback next season. You're buying that?
Do we have – I kind of expected when you asked that question that Thomas was going to flash up the Josh Rosen QB1 tweet. Remember that one before they drafted Kyler Murray? They had tweeted out that Josh Rosen was their QB1. I mostly buy it. It seems really unlikely that both Justin Fields and Kyler Murray are going to hold on to their jobs. I would guess Fields is going somewhere else and Kyler's staying.
Wow, look at this. You talk about dedication, Iron Man Dave Richard.
Bum, how do I sound?
Bum, 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 bum. You sound terrible. Dave, I don't understand. How do you show up to a podcast sick? Like, that's just, it's bad for the listener.
I know, it's crazy, but
is it worse that he's on the podcast sick or at his desk sick?
But I'm in an enclosed room. I'm away from everybody.
How did you get there?
No one will catch this season from me. Well, season virus.
Would you like to take part in our rankings disputes?
Yeah, as long as you guys don't mind my voice sounding like this. If everybody thinks it sounds bad, I'll leave.
You know what, Dave? I do not care. And just so everyone knows, I decided this. I am just throwing caution to the wind this week. I am just on a different mode. I am going to get today, Dave, my lunch that I told you about yesterday, my Sunday routine.
Run it down.
I'm getting it today. I'm getting a haircut, and then I'm going to the bagel place, and I'm getting cinnamon raisin bagel with ham, Swiss cheese, tomato. I forgot about tomato and Russian dressing. I am going throwback lunch today. So I don't care about your voice. I don't care about my health or my taste buds. Whatever. YOLO.
Picturing you sitting on a park bench, covered in your own hair, eating a disgusting bagel sandwich.
All right.
Did you lose a bet?
No. This was my Sunday afternoon football Sunday sandwich that I would get every week.
He's the only person on the planet.
Yeah. A cinnamon raisin bagel as the bread part of a ham sandwich.
Ham and cheese, tomato, and Russian dressing.
My word.
I don't know what Russian dressing is, but I'm going to assume it somehow ties all those things together, because otherwise that's awful.
You never had Russian dressing? It's great. It's ketchup and mayo based. It's really good.
Are you sure you're not confusing that with Thousand Island dressing?
That's what I thought too. I was like, no, it's not that, but it is that. It's no, Russian dressing is great. It's like one of the best, like on cold cuts or pastrami. Oh, pastrami or corned beef with Russian dressing. Elite. Elite. Okay. First rankings dispute comes from Shane Ferris. I asked everybody on Twitter if you had some rankings disputes. Thank you for the responses. I also got this conversation going in our Facebook group. You can join our Facebook group. Just search for Fantasy Football Today on Facebook. Shane Ferris says Tank Dell versus Nico Collins. Who do you guys have?
I haven't done my... Are we talking about 2024?
Well, we're not talking about next week. We're talking about 2024.
I have not done my wide receiver rankings yet, but I would anticipate having Tank Dell ahead of Nico Collins.
Try and make the case against it.
I can do it. Mm-hmm. And it required a lot of research last night, because on paper, I mean, what was cool about this was, let's just look at the games that they both played together and played basically their normal snap share. 53 targets for Tank Dell, 52 targets for Nico Collins. This is 7 games. So I took out the injured games. I took out week 1 when Tank Dell barely played. 7 games, they had the same amount of targets basically. Tank Dell had one more touchdown. Nico Collins had 2 more catches. Nico Collins had 41 more yards, I think. 39 more yards. So very even production. One from a rookie, one from a third-year guy. So you're going to favor the rookie typically. But there was one thing that I think is the case for Nico Collins. Maybe 2 things. One is red zone, green zone. Almost none of that for Tank Dell. His touchdowns were kind of like Jamar Chase as a rookie. I mean, he's like super long.
But you don't want that.
Well, he had 7 touchdowns. 4 of them were from longer than 20 yards, whereas Nico Collins has been a short area red zone, green zone, end zone target for kind of like a Mike Evans with some big playability as well. And that's basically it. I don't know if that would matter at all, but you asked me to make a case. That's the case I would make, that maybe Tank Dell is a little bit too much big play dependent. Nico Collins can get you some more touchdowns because they're less fluky. That's the only case I would make, I guess.
Well, I think I'd argue with almost everything you said, but most of all, I would argue with Nico Collins being a Mike Evans type when he has 10 career touchdowns in 38 games three coming into this year.
I specifically meant getting a lot of targets near the end zone and in the end zone from 5 yards, 10 yards out. That's what Evans used to do all the time.
If Collins had done that before this year, I think I'd be more open to that. I think these guys are both going to be ranked very close. So I don't want to make it seem like I think that there's no argument for Nico Collins. I think there's a little bit of concern about Tank Dell's health and size, that just like there was when he came into the league, the fact that he got hurt and missed part of the year didn't clear that up. But I think when you have a rookie and a third-year wide receiver, and the third-year wide receiver had been almost completely irrelevant before this year, you have to go with the rookie.
I agree 100%. The rookie also happens to be one of the fastest people in the league, and that big play potential matters. And he's had synergy with the quarterback since day one. I expect the Texans to improve their offensive line. I expect the Texans to probably improve their run game too. And I think both those things are a double-edged sword for Tank Dell. But ultimately, when Dell was rolling in the middle of the year, he was their number one receiver. And it was a close number one between him and Nico. But I would imagine that Dell, as long as he's healthy, has the chance to be anywhere from Tyler Lockett to Tyreek Hill. And I would want to chase that on draft day before the steady production, what I think will be steady production from Nico. But I like them both. I would draft them both as top 20-ish type of wide receivers next year.
I think I had them both in my top 12. I was trying to do a top 12, and it was really, really hard to get getting to the bottom of the top 12. Heath, agree or disagree? Sick Dave sounds like Jamie, LOL.
No, I don't think he does at all. He sounds a lot like Adam because Adam's always sick.
Here's a cool stat on Nico Collins. Nico Collins, among all wide receivers with 40 or more catches, he was fourth in yak per catch, 6.6 yards after the catch per reception. And there were 59 receivers. Good. We have another week to play, by the way. But so right now he's fourth. Here are the wide receivers that rank ahead of him in yak per catch. Deebo Samuel, Rashee Rice, and Demario Douglas. I mean, these are all really short
area. Wow, Demario Douglas.
Really short area guys. Nico's got a 10.7 yard ADOT, and he was still fourth in yak per catch. Very impressive.
And again, this is one of those things. I'm not an anti-Nico guy. I think Dave was telling me yesterday on FFT Dynasty that I had him too high in my current Dynasty rankings around wide receiver 20.
Yeah.
But like, this is also the first time he's done that. And right, that one's not.
You realize
like, there's something to do with quarterback, but yeah. It's not entirely influenced by the quarterback. Like, what you do after the ball has already been caught.
Well, I think offensive system helps there too, right? I mean, it's coming from a system that creates a lot of yak out of San Francisco. I think you have to say a much better coaching staff for all of their skill sets than what they had before.
Can we rule out that Houston is done with their receiving core and won't try and improve it this offseason?
That's the biggest risk. Because I think what the risk is that they go draft a wide receiver in the first two rounds, and then we're not arguing Nico versus Tank Dell in a which one is in the top 12, which one's in the top 15. We're like, which one of these guys is losing out?
All right, let's go to our next one here. It's from Tony. Bijan versus Gibbs. All right, so Heath, you said you had Gibbs ahead?
Yep.
And I said I had Bijan, and Dave, how about you?
I've got Gibbs ahead.
Adam, are you – and I think that like this could be a really short argument – because if you're simply just saying you don't think Arthur Smith is going to be back, then Dave and I might agree with you. If like, I think there's a very good chance we get to April and they've got a better quarterback and a better offensive system, and I have Bijan ahead of Gibbs.
I will make the case for Bijan even if Arthur Smith is back. I know none of us like Arthur Smith. Well, I don't really mind.
I don't dislike Arthur Smith.
I know the fantasy community does not like Arthur Smith. And if... you know, if Bijan Robinson fumbled the ball, then tried to pick it up, and then punted it out of his own end zone for a safety, everyone would blame Arthur Smith for it. It's like anything that Bijan did wrong was always Arthur Smith's fault. But I would say that even if he were in a shared backfield, it would have to be more weighted to Bijan than it is now. But even if he were in a committee, Arthur Smith does produce some of the best running games in football. I remember Todd Bowles talking about it, about how they have some of the best run schemes in the NFL. We always see his running backs do well. I think if you look at the last portion of the season, maybe the last five games or so with Bijan, he did claim the number one role. It wasn't as much and it wasn't enough as we need, but at the very least, one thing that was missing most of the year that came later in the year, he was the goal line the inside the five guys. So he didn't have that for most of the year. There's no doubt in my mind he'll get most of that next year. I just think that they can have a better year running the ball. They've had injuries on their offensive line. I don't really like Arthur Smith for fantasy purposes, especially for the receivers. But for the run game, he's pretty darn good. So I can make the case that, you know, that next year they unleash him a little bit. He actually, I mean, I think he was on pace similar. His 17-game pace is 54 catches. Jahmyr Gibbs' 17-game pace is 63 catches. So he's still a factor there. And then there's still the David Montgomery factor. I think no matter what, he won't have as much competition in his backfield as Jahmyr Gibbs does.
Famous last words, considering the coach in Atlanta. And if he stays somehow, then I guarantee you he will have some competition for touches in Atlanta.
Oh, I didn't say that. I said he won't have as much as Jahmyr Gibbs.
I think they're going to both have a shared backfield to some degree, but I think they'll be the lead guys in both of their backfields. I've already done a little bit of a number crunch for both these backs. You tell me what you think of this. There were 11 games this year where Bijan had at least 15 touches. In those games, he averaged 17.4 PPR points per game. His average on the season was 13.8. So that's a really good jump, and that's what tells me that if Bijan is the main guy in Atlanta, that's a pretty fair expectation, maybe even a little bit higher than 17.4. Maybe you can get to 18 PPR points per game. When Gibbs played at least 50% of the snaps, this isn't just, you know, raw touches. This is just playing half the snaps or more for the Lions. Nine games, he averaged 19.1 PPR points per game, 15.1 in non-PPR. He was a factor there too. And on the season, he averaged 16.7 PPR points per game. That was what made me rationalize that Gibbs, both of them have a good offensive line, but Gibbs has the better offensive line. And I know there's going to be an offensive play caller change there. It doesn't bother me as much because I think that they'll be all right. That makes me believe that Gibbs has more upside than Bijan.
All right. Heath, you want to get a word in there? And Jamie is here. We'll get his take on this.
No, I was just trying to put in context the competition difference. And it looks like we're talking about two touches a game at most. Like the difference between what David Montgomery and others have done versus what Tyler Algier and others have done. I think it's 250 touches to 225 or somewhere in that range. So neither one of them is a full feature back unless they get a coaching change.
But this is what a full feature back looks like now, Heath. Like, we're not going to find guys that regularly play 85, 90% of the snaps that often anymore.
Well, no, right. But there's still a lot of guys getting more touches than Jahmyr Gibbs.
Sure. I don't know about a lot. How many do you think?
12.
Okay, maybe.
All right, I'll get Jamie in a second here. But one stat: if Bijan's going to be better than Gibbs, here's a stat that has to change. The Falcons have 8 running back rushing touchdowns this year. The Lions have 22, and that's so much of what this is. I mean, Dave gave those fantasy points per game and with those sample sizes. How much of that is touchdowns? I'm sure it's a lot. Jamie, Gibbs or Bijan?
Today, Gibbs. Black Monday, Bijan.
All right.
Bijan's going to be so much better next year when they have a head coach. Not so much better than Gibbs, but he's going to be so much better. The version that we'll see will be the version that you hoped to see this year, because the head coach will change everything about how bad this Falcons team has been run.
How about this thought? Ben Johnson.
Yeah, no, that 100%. 100% it would be fantastic, because yeah, all those rushing touchdowns would be there. At least you hope. I think the difference you're talking about, the difference in talent between the backups is dramatic. David Montgomery is a much better running back than Tyler Algier. Not taking anything away from Algier, but David Montgomery is a better running back. So the usage will change for both these guys. Will change for Bijan.
It is interesting to think about Ben Johnson, because, like, do we think that Ben Johnson then would want Bijan Robinson to be a feature back, or would Bijan be in the Gibbs role, or would Bijan be in the Montgomery role?
I think Bijan would be in the Bijan role, which is what you want.
I think you would just have a better offense in theory. But
yes, you have off, you got to get a better quarterback too.
I mean, that's the thing. We crap on Arthur Smith. They're 7-9. They don't have a good team, I don't think. I mean, they have a bad quarterback. So most teams are not 7-9 with a bad quarterback. I don't know. I don't know that he's as bad as everyone makes him out to be. But
he's misused three elite players.
I don't really think he's misused Bijan all that much. I think where he really misused him was they should have used him more near the goal line. And
earlier in the season, and not waited until his job was basically being threatened.
I guess, but have they misused Pitts and London? They just don't throw the ball that much.
Pitts dramatically.
Well, Pitts was hurt also, and might still be dealing with the injury that he had last year.
All right, listen, I don't want to be
the storyline all year.
I don't want to be the most unpopular person in fantasy by defending Arthur Smith. Nobody likes that. So we're going to take a break and come back with some more rankings disputes for 2024 on Fantasy Football Today.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, our next tweeter is Evan Pohl, who wants us to rank aging number one wide receivers versus young number two wide receivers. And Heath, is there one example where you are going to take the aging number one receiver? So it's Amari Cooper versus T. Higgins and Devontae Smith, Hopkins and Ridley versus Zay Flowers and JSN, and Kupp versus Puka.
So I'm going to take Puka over Kupp. I'm going to take Devontae over Cooper. T. Higgins, let's see who he's playing for before I make a decision on him.
Just look behind you. Just look behind you.
Yeah. I doubt that the Bengals allow that to happen. I think as much as they don't want to pay T. Higgins, they'd rather pay T. Higgins.
They don't have a choice. They don't have a choice. He's a free agent.
Well, they can franchise him.
Franchise.
That'd be the dumbest thing ever if they franchise.
Why?
Because it would just kill their salary cap.
Well, but guys get franchised.
He's gone. He's absolutely gone. Unless he signs some very team-friendly deal.
I don't think he's going to do that, probably. No. Who was the other one? The middle one was the one that was interesting at him.
It was Hopkins and Ridley. I mean, I don't think Hopkins is going to get a lot of love, but Ridley maybe versus Zay Flowers and JSN.
Where's Ridley playing?
Right. And who's playing with JSN? I think I'm pretty confident I'll have Zay Flowers over those guys. And if Lockett's gone, then I'll have JSN over those guys. But if it's still DK and Lockett and JSN, I'm probably going to still have JSN behind them.
What do you guys think, Dave? Any of those scenarios?
I'm going to put the young hotness over old talent in every single case that's here.
Yeah, man, I just Amari Cooper is giving me some kind of Mike Evans vibes here. If in just the games that weren't Dorian Thompson Robinson games, he's averaging almost 18 points per game. He's averaging as many points per game as Puka Nacua is this season. Of course, I would have to take out the Brett Rippon game, so he's not been as good. But he's basically been a number one wide receiver when anyone but Dorian Thompson Robinson, and that's three other quarterbacks, by the way, have been playing. And he was very good last year. It wasn't great. He was very good last year. So Cooper, I understand getting away from Hopkins. I understand, being pretty down on Ridley. Kupp will go ahead of Cooper, but not ahead of Puka Nacua, I assume. But Cooper's been, we got to give him some due here. Right? Good for him. And he might be pretty underrated next year.
He is every year. I mean, since he was a Raider.
Yeah. But again,
the one that I struggle with more is not the old guys. It's JSN. Like the idea that he does. I don't think he has a 70-yard game this season. I just don't know. I don't know why. It'd be nice if Tyler Lockett would go away. But if Lockett's still there, just a complete flip the situation on its head when Lockett has 40 more targets and 37 more catches. And it's not been close between those two.
I mean, Lockett has more targets and catches than Metcalf,
which is the case every year.
Yeah. I mean, I'd be surprised if Lockett, if he's back, has the exact same role.
Right. Maybe not the exact same, but it takes a big change for JSN to become someone that you can use in fantasy. It's not like he's a 2% change in target share or a slight shift towards him. It takes a monster change in what they've done for him to be fantasy relevant.
Okay. Lockett's played one more game than Metcalf. He has 12 more catches on 5 more targets, but Metcalf is averaging 6.3 more yards per catch. Not a great year for Lockett. So you'd hope he'd start losing some of those targets, right?
Well, I mean, really it's not been a great year for almost everything in Seattle. Given what they, how they started and how they're finishing. Pete Carroll was saying yesterday about how the, or Monday, how the run game has just been struggling, which I think we could all see. You wonder what's going to change. They did have a new coordinator this year, and we know Pete Carroll has certainly been, apt to change these guys.
Yeah. All right, next one is from Scott Kobe. Chris Olave versus Mike Evans.
Olave.
Yeah, that's an easy one for me.
Certainly going to rank it that way and probably feel stupid about not drafting enough Mike Evans once again.
It's just,
well, you can still do both. You could rank Olave ahead of Evans and still draft him.
Hold on. Where's Mike Evans playing?
See, I could see get franchised because of what he's been to that team. And, you know, especially if they win the division, they're sort of in one of these weird spots where you got to wonder, will they run it back?
Right.
You are not allowed to say it's okay for the Bucks to franchise Mike Evans, but not for the Bengals to franchise T. Higgins.
The Bengals just paid their quarterback. The Bengals have a franchise wide receiver on their team. The Bucks, this might be their best offensive player ever.
What I'm looking at right now, the Bengals have the sixth most cap space in the NFL.
And so, the franchise tag is for 1 year.
Yeah, if it's dumb for the Bengals, then it's dumb for the Bucks.
They've been talking about it in Cincinnati all season long.
I think the more important thing is the Bucks are not letting Mike Evans go.
I don't think T. Higgins is back at Cincinnati next year at all.
I think he's back, but I think he's back for 1 year.
I don't think the Bucks are letting Mike Evans go.
Yeah, I agree.
The thing with T. Higgins is, remember when they said, you know, there were trade rumors and their GM said, get your own wide receiver or something. You know, it would look so dumb now.
Because they were a Super Bowl contender.
Well, they're a Super Bowl contender next year.
But now they have to pay him.
All right. Well, yeah, they have to pay him.
So that's the point of the franchise tag, is that you can delay that for a year. They're going to kick the can down the road, and then when they have to pay Chase, they're going to say goodbye to T. Higgins.
They have to pay Chase now.
They could pay Chase now, but they don't have to pay Chase now.
I don't think you want both your franchise wide receivers mad at you, do you? You got to make somebody besides Burrow happy.
They got to do business as they need to do it. And they've got a franchise quarterback that they've already committed a lot of money to.
They are, and maybe they'll just continue, but they're a franchise very much like the Chargers, that the ownership in the front office has not gotten out of the way enough and not paid enough. And if they do that again with this situation, they... Ugh.
What do you think the franchise tag is? 20 million for a receiver, something like that?
And we'll go up.
They have 70, almost $70 million in cap space.
And so, a defense that they still have to rebuild, and an offensive line they still have to fix.
They'll be fine. With that much cap space, they can franchise T. Higgins.
And T. Higgins will be on a different team.
All right. I mean, maybe, but... they can franchise him. They have
they absolutely can't. Of course they can't.
You just can't. You cannot do the Mike Evans means so much to the franchise. It's okay for them to franchise him, but it's not okay for the Bengals to franchise.
The situations are totally different. Mike Evans, I'm sure, would love to finish his career as a Hall of Famer with the Bucks. T. Higgins is looking to get a mega deal right now. The Bengals are not giving it.
He can look for whatever he wants. They're going to franchise tag him and not give him the mega. They could.
Absolutely could happen. You're 100% right. It could happen. There's not an NFL person that I've spoken to that said that will happen.
They're spoken to two.
You have no idea who I speak to.
Jamie, very different situation. The Bengals have $20 million more in cap space than the Bucks. All right, let's go to our next one here.
I think the loser of the T. Higgins bet should have to eat Adam's bagel.
I didn't make any bet. I'm just saying there's a double standard. I don't know why it's so dumb for the Bengals, but not for the Bucks.
One guy has been with his team for 10 seasons. I'm sure would welcome finishing his career there. The other guy is on the way to getting his first huge deal, and it's not going to come from this team. Plus, if he leaves, he could be the alpha, which meet an NFL player that doesn't want to do that.
Of course.
As opposed to staying there, getting a franchise tag, and having to play as the second guy.
Here's the thing that you're not remembering.
It's not
all
his choice.
All this is out of the receiver's control.
Right. That's right.
Unless he makes a stink. Oh, by the way, what happened to Tyreek Hill and Davante Adams and Stephon Diggs and how many more
guys?
So
what's he going to do? He's going to sit out the year?
No, he's not going to sit out the year, but he may force his way out like all these other guys have.
Yeah, well, Barkley and Jacobs tried that, right? I mean, they both threatened.
Different positions. Nobody wanted them.
They would have had a market if they had hit free agency. They both threatened to not play, especially Jacobs. They got franchised, and they played. I mean, I know Higgins doesn't want to get franchised. I'm just saying it's not necessarily his choice. And the Bengals
is the argument that Higgins is going to get traded, Jamie? Is that what you're saying?
If he is not going to be let go or get a huge contract extension, I would imagine he's going to try and force their hand
way out with a trade.
To pay him.
Yes, that I mean for sure. All right. Let's see what we got. We got Debo versus Ayuk is our next debate. Actually, commercial break is our next debate. So we'll be right back with Debo versus Ayuk after this.
The chilling new original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean in a woman named Sylvie.
She's a CAN model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
Let's go!
It's the most all-star studded challenge ever. And this time, it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever!
The Challenge All-Stars. New season now streaming on Paramount Plus. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.
Okay, Debo versus Ayuk. Here we go. This is from Andy Rosenberg. Dave, who do you got, Debo or Ayuk?
I think I'm going to lean toward Debo just because of his usage and utilization in that offense. But I really love both. This is another situation where I would imagine Ayuk is going to get the franchise tag from the 49ers, and he's going to have to play on that unless he makes a stink and forces his way out, which is always now going to be the asterisk that we put with any of these receivers. But I think Debo's the one that I'd rather have.
Heath?
I go back and forth on these guys. The answer to who I'm going to draft is which one's going later. But I would lean towards Debo. I think, and it's just like what the stuff they do with him and the little bit extra that he gets in the running game is enough of a tiebreaker. And Ayuk, like that target crunch with all four seems to impact Ayuk just a little bit more, I think, because Debo can do a little something on the ground.
Jamie, Debo or Ayuk?
Slightly toward Debo, but I think the thing that, and I hate saying this, if McCaffrey starts to deal with injuries, Debo becomes that much more valuable.
Right.
And, yep. And entering his 28-year-old season, who knows if that happens. So, but both, I think, are going to end up being probably decent value picks. You know, we saw Debo, I think, get overdrafted this year, and I think we'll see a little bit market correction by, or maybe around, not by much, but maybe around, depending on how the playoffs go. Ayuk was definitely underdrafted, and I think we'll see that get corrected too, where he goes a little bit higher.
6.7 touches per game for Debo, 4.8 for Ayuk. You know that Ayuk's literally all came on receptions. Debo had 36 carries. And fantasy PPR points per game, really close between the two. 17 for Debo, 16.3 for Ayuk. Ayuk played one more game than Debo.
Oh, yeah, but...
But that's just an Azer stat.
I Azer statted the heck out of this one. Okay. Let's take away the injured games. Let's take away the decoy Samuel game. Remember, he came into a game hurt, didn't get a single target. I got 9 games where they both played 68% or more of the snaps, and not including the decoy Samuel game, they had the same amount of targets in those 9 games. Brandon Ayuk had 48 catches. Debo had 42. Ayuk had a lot more yards, 829 to 649. They both had 6 touchdowns. But Debo had the 22 carries, 128 yards, and 3 touchdowns rushing. So I think you got to go Debo here. We'll see. We'll see who gets it. Did they crack your top 12, guys? Are they top 12 receivers?
I haven't done my top 12 yet. That's my next job after this show. But probably not.
I'm going to try not to have them in my top 12, but top 15, one of them should make it in there.
Yeah, I got Debo as number 11 per game in PPR. Ayuk at number 14. And that's 2 years. That's 2 out of 3 with Debo. So kind of hard.
That ain't bad.
Yeah.
And last year they were basically the same on a per game basis as well, right? Like 13.5 and 13 fantasy points. So it's 3. And I don't know how much that 3 years ago probably did. We just shouldn't hold against Ayuk. But yeah.
All right.
Take the one that goes later.
Our last rankings.
They have to pay out you too by next year. So We'll see what they do.
The franchise.
All the wide receivers are going to be franchise tagged this year.
We could laugh about it. We could laugh. It's okay. All right, Mickey Walker. Last debate here. Joe Flacco versus Patrick Mahomes next year.
It's a good one. It's close. Depends on where Flacco is playing.
Maybe he's backing up Mahomes.
Maybe. He doesn't have to do that until November, basically. He could just stay at home, sit on the couch, no training camp. Also, I think I can no longer look at per game quarterback standings and be like, well, if you remove Joe Flacco, because he's just in there now. He's played five games. He's just in.
My rule is you got to play half the season, nine games.
Okay.
Well, he might get what, three more?
Yeah, maybe. Mm-hmm. That's it. Four.
What if Flacco goes to Atlanta?
That'd be fun. Don't you think he's going to end up with a team like Washington or New England where they take a quarterback in round one and he's the bridge for the first 4 weeks?
I think he's probably going to just hang out and not go to training camp and wait until somebody says, we're going to start you the rest of the year, and then he'll come play. He's not going to go sit on somebody's bench and have to go to practice and stuff.
Then he won't make as much money.
Look at this graphic. I mean, look at this graphic.
It's amazing.
2023 season, Joe Flacco averaging 25.4 points per game, 6 points per passing touchdown. Mahomes averaging 20.9. And so 4.5 more points per game for Flacco. He's averaging 323 passing yards per game. And he has 13 touchdowns compared to 27 for Mahomes. And he's played five games. That's incredible. All right, I got a few emails I'd like to read from the audience. FantasyFootball@CBSi.com. Now is a great time to send in your emails. Maybe not for the Thursday and Friday shows, but going forward, certainly we'll have more time to read emails. FantasyFootball@CBSi.com. That's the letter I. Jason from a city west of West Des Moines.
St. Paul, Minnesota.
It's actually Waukee, Iowa.
Wait, Minnesota's north of Iowa.
That's terrible. I'm gonna do some research on that one. I was thinking Omaha.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Okay. 12-team league has a mandatory side bet in week 18. The teams are split into two groups based on final standings, who play for each for one draft dollar in next year's salary cap auction. So each manager either gains or loses $1. You have to field a team of one quarterback, two running backs, two wide receivers, and a tight end. And you have to pick one player from each team. It's a little confusing, but he gives us this list here. And it's 4 points per passing touchdown, and it's half PPR. So he gives us a list of six teams and three players per team. And you have to make your lineup from those teams. And I'm just doing this now and realizing this was one of the worst emails to have read on the
I think it's the worst.
Way too much information.
The worst email you've ever chosen.
Way too much information.
Also, St. Paul is east of West Des Moines.
Okay, I'm not going to answer this on the air. I'm sorry, Jason. I'll try to answer you in
Man,
the
Jason was so excited. He had his piece of paper out already. He was going to mark things up, and nope.
He told his friends, he's like, you got to listen to the podcast today. They're going to read my question. All right, it's my fault, not yours. From Gio. Where's Gio from?
St. Paul, Minnesota.
All right, I wanted to let you know that I took home a championship this year based off of your best friend strategy. It's actually the friendship strategy. I drafted both Ayuk and Debo, and I had Devontae Smith as well. Let's see. So, yeah, he's saying, I wouldn't recommend the friendship strategy for teams or quarterbacks with the next man up mentality, but I would do it again with Debo Ayuk, with Goddard and Devontae Smith. That's a pretty good one. Gibbs and Montgomery, to name a few off the top of my head. I don't think we talked about the friendship strategy at all this year.
Yeah, but I think in the case of the 49ers guys, they're both usually productive throughout the course of the season fairly consistently. Eagles guys would be awful.
Yeah, I agree.
I think as the way Adam described it, literally zero of those examples fit the friendship strategy.
It's usually one early, one late.
Late, it doesn't have to be super late, but I think
later.
Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert probably did. And
how did that work though?
No, you won't want him to be a bench player who benefits if the starter goes down. You don't want to be starting Dallas Goedert when Devontae Smith's active.
No, that the friendship strategy is to draft two starters who have value, but if one of them gets hurt, the other becomes a star. So the original example was Cooper and Crabtree back in their Raiders.
Yeah, I think like this year could have been Ridley and Kirk.
Yes.
Like that could have worked out in a big way to some extent.
It would have fizzled late because Kirk got hurt and Ridley's been so up and down.
But that's the point. Yeah, well, but, see, so
Ridley really had a couple of big games though once Kirk went down.
Right.
The
up and down.
The 49ers, I think, is the flip side of that, where you're taking those two relatively early and you could have confidence in starting both. Like I would put maybe Evans and Godwin in that category of guys that you could have taken in the first, let's say, six rounds. And it worked out starting both of them.
The Debo Ayuk combo worked out amazing. There were 10 games this year where one of them had at least 20 PPR points.
I forget where Ayuk was
drafted. And then the other one, like some of the games, they were pretty bad, but like still some with like anywhere from 10 to 18 PPR points.
Ayuk was like round six.
I mean,
Ayuk was like round five, round six. Debo was a couple rounds earlier.
Kupp and Puka would have been probably the best, right? If you had lived in a world where Puka was drafted. All right. And here's a dynasty question from Adam in New York City. Our four-year-old dynasty league is at a crossroads where some managers are disgruntled by the lack of QB and other depth available to them. It is a 12-team super flex league with deep benches, and some teams will carry 5 to 6 quarterbacks, while others struggle to start a second quarterback at times. What are your takes on practice squads or making unused players available to be claimed? Is there an ideal league setup that you find works well?
Like, go ahead, Heath.
You should make there's a function called trades. And if you turn that on, then the people who don't have the players that they want can offer trades to get those players.
All right, I've never played in a league like that. So
I have played in one league with positional limits this year and I hated it.
It's so
hated
awful.
It.
Yeah, I don't like those either. I have a league like that.
I also, I think, finished in last place, and maybe that's why I hated it. But, yeah, I don't like positional limits. The practice squad thing, I am tempted to just move away from that because it's so hard to enforce, and it causes me to have to check people's rosters so often to make sure that they have the people who are eligible for a practice squad spot in that spot.
Was I supposed to do that? Was I supposed to be checking people's rosters?
No, you were busy setting people's lineups.
Thank you. It's one thing off my plate. I liked this dynasty. And whenever I bring it up, I think people just got, you know, they don't think it's a good idea. But we had contracts. We had 1 year, 3 year, and 5 year contracts that you had to sign people to. There was also a franchise tag, so you could keep people.
Love contract leagues. That's one of my favorite leagues.
But then you would have
this is the one that you took over.
This is the one that ended and became Big Burger. Then you would have a draft, a free agent draft, and you would have some stars in there. I mean, like 1 year I got Stephon Diggs, you know.
Right.
So, unfortunately, there were never 12 stars. There were usually something like 7 or 8. But it was good for parity, that's for sure. That was also not a super flex league.
But is the goal, again, is the goal parity or is the goal to reward the best fantasy managers?
Well, you want every league to be competitive throughout, especially.
You got to have a balance for sure.
All right. I think I'm going to call it a day and go get my bagel, go get my haircut. Probably haircut first. You're right, Dave. I don't want to get hair in the bagel.
Can you go get the sandwich and then eat it while you're getting the haircut?
What a disgusting thought that is. That's like,
oh, yeah, that's the disgusting part.
That is the gross part of it.
It makes it worse, but the whole thing is nauseating.
All right, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow with Starter Sit for the AFC Home Games on Fantasy Football Today.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. Are you still listening? Good. Take a deep breath. You needed a break. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. So, yes, you can literally stream a stream. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.